Okay, we're going to clarify first the before we go on to the next Mishnah, the Poshta by Kedushas Domim. We had in the Sugya basically a general machloikis whether we say Poshta when you makdish a limb if the Kedusha spreads throughout the behemoth. So we had a machloikis. Everybody agreed that if you have an Eirish HaNeshamot Luyubo, if it's a significant limb, then the Kedusha spreads throughout the whole animal. And if it's not an Eirish HaNeshamot Luyubo, so then we had a machloikis in Tanoim, if we say that it's Pashta Kedusha Bakulu or not. We brought a Mahalach to understand that machloikis. But then the Gemara had a secondary Shaila, which was, do we say a double dose Pashta? Which would require us to go ahead and say twice migu. And the case that the Gemara gave was somebody's makdish a limb with using a kedushas domim, only being makdish the limb for its value, and then let the kedusha spread throughout the animal. That's number one. And then after it spreads throughout the animal, let it get a second kedusha, which was a kedushas haguf. And that was the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara wasn't poiskin Shaila. Whether we would say a double dose migu, is the migu is required to attack this kedusha from two fronts. Number one, to make it spread, and number two, then to make the kedusha change to kedusha zaguf. So that was the Gemara here, and that's how Rashi explained the Gemara. We said without Rashi's explanation, we could have learned the Gemara differently. We could have learned that the Gemara Shaila was that maybe let the Kedusha first become Kedusha Seguf and then let it spread. That would have been L'chara, a more glatta, a poshut way to learn. Makdish a limb. Let the limb now, which only has Kedusha's Domim, turn into a Kedusha Seguf. And once it turns into Kedusha Seguf, let it spread. But Rashi was gnawed from learning the Gemara that way, decided not to learn the Gemara that way. And Rashi said the way the Gemara was going was the opposite direction. Do we say Pashta Kedusha Bakulu? Let the Kedusha spread throughout the animal. And then we'll say, once this Kedusha is done, this Kedusha is a goof. That's how Rashi learned the Gemara. So, the problem we had with this Rashi, and the way that the Shita Mekubetzes also learns like Rashi, was that this really contradicts the Gemara in Erechim, which has the same sugi of his Pashtas, on Daf Hei. And over there, the Gemara clearly states otherwise. Over there, the Gemara says, if somebody says, Roish behemazu, somebody wants to give a head to Hekdish, the Gemara says, Einai nidin b'chvoidai. We don't say that the whole animal becomes Kodesh. And the Gemara says, why? Ha b'kedushas haguf, ha b'kedushas domim. The Gemara says that by kedushas domim, we don't say that the kedusha spreads. And here, Rashi took on that if anything, that would be the first step. You makdish the limb for its value. Step one will be that the whole animal will become kodesh. And then step two will be that the kedusha zaguf would be chal. And Rashi in Erechin says, mamish da'ap, and the sugi in Erechin says the opposite. It says even if you makdish a whole head, you go over the behemoth and say, I'm giving the whole head to hekdish. The Gemara says it doesn't spread. And the Gemara says, why not? That's already an Eivish HaNeshamot Luyubo. We're in our Gemara, Eivish HaNeshamot Luyubo. Everybody agrees that the Kedusha spreads. And it says, Harba Kedusha's Haguf, Harba Kedusha's Domim. Which means that by Kedusha's Domim, we don't have it spread. So how does this work with our Sugya? That Rashi seems to be saying that the Kedusha of the Eiver would spread throughout the animal, even while it's a Kedusha's Domim. That was the difficulty that we had that we did not get back to. So I think that if we take the approach that we were taking last week, we can answer this very, very simply, this kasha. And with it, we'll answer the other areas of Hispashtas. Namely, we brought down that the Gemara in Kiddushin uses Hispashtas, even though Kiddushin clearly has nothing to do with our sugya. And that was the Sfasemis' question in the introduction to the sugya, that how could the Gemara in Kiddushin even think to use Hispashtas when our Gemara says clearly, his pashtus is only by kodshim. In fact, Our Gemara wants to limit it only to behemah. And even by oif, it wouldn't be applicable. That's how far our Gemara goes, that even by a bird, it wouldn't be applicable. Because a bird is not a behemah. So an ish is a chanat. Another question, which is presented by the Menachem Zemba, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, is a fascinating question that he has. There's a concept in Shas of a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben choren. It's a classic case of a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben choren, is where a guy frees half his eved. Now, that could be accomplished in one of two ways. Either the owner himself goes and frees half his eved. That's one case of a chatzi eved. Or you have an eved that's owned by two shutofim, two partners own an eved, and one partner frees the eved, the other partner maintains the status of the eved. Those are the two cases we have. So, Reb Nachum Zemba comes and he says, I don't understand. He says, if you're, clearly, this is a classic example of Kedusha, real Kedusha, because the Gemara says in Gittin, that when you meshachar an eved, in a sense, you're giving him Kedusha. He's going from a level of an eved to a level of Yisrael. He's getting Kedusha, that his Kedusha is being elevated. The Rambam, in fact, says in Ilchos Yisurei Bia that an eved, by definition, an eved kenani is somebody who's yotza mechlal ha'akum ulechlal Yisrael lo nichnas. By definition, that's what an eved kenani is. A guy has a little Kedusha, but he hasn't yet gotten the Kedusha of Yisrael. That's what an eved kenani is. So ask Rav Menachem Zemba, when you meshachar chatzi avdai, so it's an eved shan shemot liba, everybody should be as pashtas. Why do we have a chatzi eved? The chatzi kedushas Yisrael, when you freed him halfway, that should spread, and now should be a complete kedushas Yisrael. That's a gevaldik akasha. Gevaldik akasha. That's what he asks. The b'meshachar chatzi avdai name a pashto. We should say it spreads. And there, it would make more sense than by Isha. The Gemara Kedushin asked that by an Isha it should spread. If you're Makadosh, a half a woman, let the Kedushin spread throughout. Right? Over there isn't Kedusha. Midrabonon, we use a Loshen Kedusha, but there isn't Kedusha. No, when you're Makadosh a woman, she's not any holier the day after the Chasna, she was the day before the Chasna. There's no new Kedusha. And over there, the Gemara says that it should spread. No, by an Eved, he says, Harayomu begitin da flamet ches, the Am Kodesh mikri, that when an Eved goes, becomes a Yisrael, it becomes an Am Kodesh. V'havi ze inyan shel Kedusha. And this is mamish, an inyan of Kedusha. And therefore, it should be pshuto kivin shal yedei ze. And that's the question. So he wants to say an unbelievable Kiddush. But Menachem Zemba wants the Mechadosh that his pashtus only works where it doesn't counteract the ownership of the Bailam. So in other words, when you're Makdash Behema, right? So we spoke about this in the past, that when you make a Behema Kedusha Zaguf, you don't really give up ownership. Now it's your Behema. It's still your, if I take an oil, and if I take a behemoth and I make it into an oiler, it's still my oiler. It's still my oiler. And therefore, he says, the spreading is just a question of halacha. Will it be a half oiler? Will it be a whole oiler? Even if it turns into a whole oiler, it's my oiler. I'm still called a bala karban, right? His pashtus doesn't work where via the his pashtus, you lose ownership. That doesn't work. So since by a evet, if you're going to say espashtus, it means that the owner is going to lose his bailus on the evet. He's only freeing half the evet, he's not freeing the other half. Now, by you saying that it should spread, he's losing his bailus. That we don't say. No. I'm being mak. One second. I'm being makna him, half of his.
Taking away his avos.
No.
So let's say I'm being makna him his avos.
Yeah.
I give him a ma'aser kedusha into his head and give back his avos. Now there's kedusha there.
So
I start
I don't have to start a Kedusha Maisa because it works even by Ishas. You just started a Kenyan and it spreads. That's what he's asking. And Isha, all you did was you made a Kenyan. And now the Gemara says it should spread. Kosha came by here where the Kenyan involves Kedusha. And you're right, you're not sprinkling the holy water. But Lemaisa, the Kenyan is creating Kedusha. So it's Zichah better than Kedusha. That's what Menachem Zambis Kasha. His teretz is that by bailus, anything that requires bailus, so there we don't say you're giving up bailus through his pastors. It's an unclear concept because l'chaira, every pastor in the world has serious monetary consequences. And yet we say that you mean to do it or however we explain it. If you make a behema chatzi oila, there's significant monetary consequences. Till now, the behema was yours. Then you will makdish half the behema. So if the behema is worth $1,000, 500 of it is chulin, and you can do whatever you want with it. And now, you're left with a situation where you lost the other $500. Okay, so technically the other $500 is still miyuchas to you, but there are monetary consequences. Teretz is, his pashtus does its job, and the monetary consequences are consequences. So it's a big chiddush from Menachem Zembe saying that we don't say his pashtus anytime there's monetary consequences. It would, agav urcha, it would explain why by berak habayis we don't say his pashtus. Because berak habayis, as we explained last week, the monetary part is not a consequence, it's the essence of what you're doing. The essence of Kedusha's berak habayis is giving your money over to Hekdesh. It's the opposite, the isser is the consequence. And that's why over there you don't say his pashtus. That's what would come out according to him. He does get half. He becomes a chatzi evid v'chatzi ben chor. No. He is. No, I'm saying he right now, does he have to do mitzvahs that a man does? Yeah. Of course. He still has to keep the mitzvahs of a man. When he's a chatzi v'chatzi ben chor, he has to keep all the mitzvahs of a man. What? He came out of Bas Chorin because of the Chatzi Evet Sheboy. He has an identity crisis. But Aloha, that's what he is. He's a Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Ben Chorin. So really, I mean, this Kasher Menachem Zembe really is Eisen. I mean, it's the biggest fluke because the most logical place to say his pastor is by Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Ben Chorin. Look at the tzoros he has. He's a stira minei obey. He can't even be moitzi, according to some, he can't be moitzi his own min. When it comes to a mitzvah, right, like a mitzvah, say Shas Mangron wants to blow shofar. He can't blow shofar to be moitzi himself. He's the only guy that's in such a situation. A cotton could blow shofar for himself. Because as much as he's obligated, he could be yotze. Yeah? Chinuch, so he's blowing chinuch. So chinuch is chinuch. A cotton could bench for himself. Right. A chatzi of a chatzi ben churin, he can't blow shofar for himself because the chatzi evet sheboy is blowing also. And therefore the blowing is a chatzi blowing. So the chatzi evet's tkiah can't be mighty. The ultimate plea, medrash plea, is the evet is the chatzi of a chatzi ben churin. Over there, his pashta seems to be the most logical solution. And we don't say it over there. With pshat. That's what Menachem Zembe's kash. So he says this tremendous chiddush that anytime it relates to ownership, you don't say it. And actually, there's no source to that. There is no mocker chazak to that idea. Not only that, even the concept of by kachshim, when you give a half a behemoth to hekdish, that behemoth still belongs to you, is also not so pashut. So the whole thing is not so pashut. So I want to tell you that if we take the Rabbeinu Gershon we learned last week, I think we can answer everything. Rabbeinu Gershon and Erichin, we had the fascinating Rabbeinu Gershon, which I felt is the source of understanding this sugya. Rabbeinu Gershon says, why do we say his pashtus? He says, Poshto kedusha bekulu. Why do we say it's pashtus? He shar lishchoy to roish l'shem oyla v'aguf l'shem chulin. You can't shecht the head for an oyla and the body for chulin. Do ein shecht in chulin bazoch. So Rabbeinu Gershon says that we have a problem. The problem we have is that if you makdish the head to hektish, so you're stuck because you can't bring a head for an oyla. Because ain't sheikh and chulam ba'azora. So therefore, it's mispashet. That's what Rabbeinu Gershon says. So we asked on this Rabbeinu Gershon. So don't bring it for an oil. So he's saying you have a problem. I agree, you have a problem. Fine, so don't bring it for an oil. Yeimunachat sheyov yaliyo. So what's his point? Or do what we did according to the opinion of Oznodov. What does the opinion who doesn't know of his pashtas do? He says, sell it. Sell it, except for the value of the arm, or leg, or head. If it's only a practical problem. So Rabbeinu Gershon says, his pashtas is an outcome of a mechanical problem that we have. You have a behemoth, the head is kaddish, the body is not kaddish, you're stuck. So since you're stuck, it spreads. So we said, why are you stuck? You're as stuck as the opinion who says you don't say it's pashtus by a leg. Why are you stuck? This is what we dealt with last week. And basically we said that whenever you makdish a korban, whenever you say, I want to bring this for a korban, whenever you say this is a korban, it lies in that nether also a chiyuv to bring it for a korban. One is hinged on the other. When you say harei ze oil, of course, if you say harei alai oil, avadi have a chiyuv to bring an oil. But even when you say harei zu oil, you have a chiyuv to bring it for an oil. And if you don't bring it for an oil, you're over bal ta'acha. You have to bring it. So wanted to say that's pshat in this Rabbeinu Gershon. When a person says harei ze raglo shel zu oil or roish shel beim zu oil, not only did you make a technical kedusha, that now the head has kedusha. Now there's a din on you to be a mevi. There's a din you have to bring it for an oil. But I can't. It's chulin bazola. So your own neder has forced his pashtas. Because you said, harei ze oila. Now that harei ze oila, not only does it trigger a kedusha oila, it obligates you to bring it for an oil. And you can't. You can't bring it for an oil. No, so by definition, you can't bring it for an oila. So yeah, it has to go and spread. But you want to know who brought this pashtas to the table? You did. By you saying, harei ze. So what's the machlekes? And that's what Rabbeinu Gershon means. That's the only part of Rabbeinu Gershon that he doesn't say, the unspoken yesod of Rabbeinu Gershon. What he means is that when I say, roish shel zu oila, we'll go to roish, I have a chiv now to bring it for an oila. My nether bound me to bring it for an oil. And that nether forces the issue that the rest of the body should become an oil. Now, if it wasn't, if Roish Behemoth Zuoila didn't do that, then I wouldn't have a problem. Why? Because what we would basically say is like this. The head is an oil, the body is chulin, and we have a problem. And then we would turn to you and say, listen, you come to a Rav, yes, you have a child, the Rav will say, listen, you have a behemoth that has a head of hotagutukop, right? The head is an oila, and the body is a behemoth, the body is a... So yes, you have what to do, your Rav will tell you, chmeis, these aitzes, maybe sell it to somebody who needs an oila, sell it to somebody who needs an oila minus the head. He'll tell you, begetzach an aitzes. Maybe you find somebody going to a shalayim, he wants to bring a carbon oila, give it to him, he'll buy it from you, even though the head is already kadosh on your account. We'll find solutions. But you can't find solutions because you have a chiyuv to bring it for an oil. You can't sell it because you personally, just like if you say, I raise their oil, you don't have, it's not in your contract. It's not a shayla. A guy says, I raise their oil. Then he comes to his rav says, listen, you got yourself into a big thing. You're living here in Wesley Hills. You said, I raise their oil. You got to bring this to your shalayim. Now, this is not a game. He tells his rabbi, Avcharot, I did the whole thing. Can I just sell my behemoth to somebody else and let him bring it? No. You have a chiyuv. It's your chiyuv. You can make a shliach if you want. It's still your responsibility. Shlucha shel adam kamoisa. But you can't get rid of that obligation. That obligation was triggered by your nether. So you don't have an option of backing out from bringing this behemoth for an oila. You have to bring it for an oila. You must. And since there's a din that you can't be shoychet chulin ba'asoha, so now you got to bring the whole thing. And memela, the kedusha spreads. The opinion who says no is pashtus. Says, listen, if a guy says raglo shel zoila, he's not getting involved in the whole thing. He just means the leg. And he doesn't mean that I'm going to bring a leg for an oila. Just the opposite. The leg is so insignificant that he doesn't mean to become mischayiv in havo. That's his opinion. Oh, but if it's a evishan shamakliyba, then everybody agrees that you're taking on that responsibility of bringing it for an oila. Once you're taking on that responsibility of bringing it for an oila, memela des is pashtus. Memela spreads on the whole behemoth. So now it's very simple. Now we got to go to other concepts in shas. The only time we're going to say it's pashtus, the only time, is where in your initial chalois that you made, there was an inclusion of another obligation. Okay? In other words, when somebody does a transaction that has no obligations, it's only technical, then it's pashtus not applicable. It's pashtus not applicable. His pashtus can only be applied where you do something which obligates you to do more, and now we say because of that obligation, now it spreads. If I create a chalois that doesn't obligate me, nothing spreads. Period. The only reason why his pashtus comes to play is because you created a chalois which not only was that chalois a chalois, it put an obligation on you. And in order for you to fulfill that obligation, his pashtus has to happen. So his pashtus is a way to facilitate your obligation that you accepted initially. But if you're an initial obligation, you never accepted any further obligations beyond what you did, what you said, of course we don't say his pashtus. Nowhere. Not by kachim, not by chulin, nowhere. When a person marries an isha, he's obligating himself. He's obligating himself to all the chiyuvei ba'al ishtoi. In fact, the Rishonim explained in Maseches Kiddushin that Kiddushin is called hana'osai meruba. The Gemara says that Kiddushin, so the Rishonim explained, the Tosfos read, because all the chiyuvim that a husband has to his wife, she's on the receiving end. She is on the receiving end. Because the husband has all these obligations. Even though the husband is acquiring a wife, he has obligations to his wife. So when he goes and he says, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, he's obligating himself to be a husband to that wife. Right? And if the only way for him to fulfill that obligation is by her being completely married to him, that lies in his chiyuv, I'm going to be a half a husband to you. I'm going to be a whole husband to you. Because I can't be a husband to half of you. Since there's a din of Isha Lebeitrei Lechazia, so she's not like she has another half of her that could be taken care of by somebody else. Right? So therefore, the only way for you to facilitate being a husband for her is for it to spread. That's mamish like Kachim. Kachim says that if you're an initial obligation, the only way for you to fulfill your initial obligation is for it to expand, it expands. That's his pashtus. His pashtus is that whatever obligation you accepted on yourself, even if you limited it to the point that it can't be fulfilled, we don't say, well, then throw it out. We say the opposite. That's exactly what Rabbeinu Gershon is saying. Rabbeinu Gershon says, really, what's the chiddush of his pashtus? Is that we don't say, forget about it. If you made an obligation that you can't facilitate, we don't say forget about it. We say, Adarabba, facilitate it. That's what his pastor says. His pastor says we have two choices here. Either you forget about it or let it spread and you'll do it. That's what happens. It facilitates. His pastor is the conclusion of an obligation that can't be facilitated without his pastor. Chatzi Eved v'chatzi ben Chorin. I didn't make any obligations to my Eved. He's my Eved. Just like I have a right to keep him as an Eved, I have a right to give him this fluky identity too. Now he's a chatzi v'chatzi ben Chorin. He's walking around like he's all dizzy. But that's, I have no obligations to make it more than that. So what, Frekka Menachem Zemba, why don't you say his pashtas? There's no shaykhs. Why should you say his pashtas? Nobody's a boss over me to tell me that my chaloy should spread. I don't want it to spread. There was a reason why I said chasi eva chasi ben chorin. Maybe it's because I decided I need an eved 1 day, 2 days a week. Which is really the conclusion. Because a chasi eved v'chasi ben chorin, without the din that it spreads, or that the oven frees him, he has to work for his master 1 day, and 1 day he's off. I wanted to create an eved that's totally meshubah to me. I could have freed him and made him into a sacher. I didn't want that. Because a sacher could walk off whenever he wants. I want a bona fide Eved Kanani, but I wanted him to have time off. So I made him into chatzi eva chatzi ben chorin. Now what are you asking me? Let it spread. I don't want it to spread. Did I ever obligate myself to spread? Of course not. Hello, Bashit. Came, Beishamai had a new taina. You took this guy, you took him away from family life. He can't live, he can't get married. Fine. Chozu beisil lohiris kedivir Beishamai. But that's not his pashtas. That's a different thing. That's Meshlachkeit. Or it's Koifin ala mitzvahs, whatever it is. That's not his pashtas. But that's Fulfiani Yizdaiti, that's the pshat. And that answers all the cases of his pashtas. Now I want to tell you a simple thing. There are two ways to be makdish something to Berek Abayis. One is you just say, this should go to Berek Abayis. This shtender belongs to Berek Abayis. That's all. There's no chiv to be makrovit to this. To the, I can say, half the shtender belongs to Berek Abayis. Oh. The same thing in animal. An animal could be looked upon as a korban, or an animal could be looked upon as a monetary possession. So if you say, I want the head of this animal to go to Hektish, so the head belongs to Hektish. And that's the Gemara Nerech. There's no reason for it to spread. The way we explained, the whole spreading process is not because it's one body, scientific, one body so it spreads, it's a disease, it's a flu. That's not the idea. The idea is that there's a din, that when you made the head of oiler, you have to bring it for an oiler, and the only way to bring it for an oiler is for the Kedusha to spread. That's the concept. So therefore, if you say the head shouldn't be an oiler, say the head should go to Hektish, let Hektish own the head, fine, let the head go to Hektish. That's the Gemara Nerech. Roish Behemazu Hektish, there's nothing to spread. Because Korban wasn't brought into the picture. Korban is what forces the issue of bringing it for a Korban. That's the issue. Our sugi is different. Our sugi, the person went and he said, Raglo Shelzu Lidmei Oila. This is already different. Now you brought in the Korban element. You could have just been makdish the leg. You didn't do that. He said, I want the leg to be an oiler. Now the shaila is, oh, you want the leg to be brought for an oiler. So do we say, oh, maybe now, just like the opinion who says it's pashtas, says that we facilitate your nether to make it happen, materialize. We say it that it spreads. Maybe here we make it spread in order to make your nether materialize. You did bring oiler into the picture. If you didn't bring oil into the picture, like the Gemara and Erechin, nobody would say it's pashtas. You said, I want the leg of this animal to belong to Hektish. Isn't the hate? Kol hakavod. Let the leg go to Hektish, no problem. But you didn't say that. You said, let the leg, the money of the leg, go for a carbon oiler. So now, if we really want to make an oiler out of your nether, we got to do a double his pashtas. We got to do his pashtas in Kedusha, and we have to do his pashtas in breath, right? In the mass of the animal. So maybe that's the Gemara Shaila. Do we do both? Then maybe we say, forget it. Then we say, listen, even though you said to May Oila, you weren't obligating yourself to bring an Oila. And therefore, there it doesn't spread. That's the truth to the of the Gemara. So I'm saying, with that you said, I think everything becomes clear. Okay, we're going to start the Mishnah. So actually, this next part has really almost nothing to do with Tamura except for the first couple of sentences in the Mishnah. No, once you... Yeah, but you have to realize, every arealai is a double. When you say arealai, it's really saying, I'm accepting upon myself to say arezu. You know what I mean? You always have that second step. You can have an arezu without a harealai, but you can never have a harealai without a rezu. Harealai is pretty much saying, it's harealai to have a harezu. And the chiddush of harealai is that when I say harezu, that's it. If it's something happens to the animal, I'm put. The picture is finished. If I say harealai, now if something happens to that animal, I got to find another animal. You can't have harealai without harezu. Okay. So just in order to continue straight, we're going to do this sugya today quickly, but really the main sugya in Tmura continues now on the next daf on daf Yud Gimel, where we will begin in Mitzvah Shem next week, going back to hardcore Tmura issues. Okay, so we'll just read this Mishnah, and I'll incorporate the Gemara in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eina meduma midamei ayel olfi cheshboin. Okay, dimua is a concept which is the rabbon. Means, until the chachamim came about, so the halacha would be if you have truma, and truma got mixed into chulin, it would be bottle b'roiv. Right? Midaraisa, the truma would be bottle b'roiv. The chachamim came, the chachamim said, that up until 100 times its amount in volume, so if you have one saw, up until 100 times its amount, will weiter be truma. But they called it dimua. Dimua is truma de rabbana. Basically has halach of truma de rabbana. The consequences of dimua are that a Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. But it's his mutu bahanoa. And a Yisrael could sell it to a kohen. Because midaraisa it's bottle. It's a lot to sell it to a kohen, obviously, except for the value of the tmura, of the truma that's in it. So the Mishnah says like this, what happens? You already have dimua. It became dimua. Now you take that dimua, and it gets mixed into another dimua, one mochul. Is this a continuous cycle? Now it became dimua. Now dimua got mixed into others. Now that's dimua. Right, unless there's 100 times its amount over there, and it keeps on going. So the Mishnah says no. Ein adimua midamei al olfi cheshbon. Dimua is always working against the original truma that fell in. So if you have one saw of truma that fell into 99 saw of chulin, so all of that chulin now is dimua. Now if a saw of that new mixture falls into something else, so now we only have to be mevatel 1/99th of that saw that fell in. So if that saw now fell in, that saw doesn't have to fall in now to 100 saw of chulin to become bottle. If it falls into a little over a saw, it's going to be bottle. Because there's only 1/99th of a saw that's truma. That's the Mishnah's Chiddush. Same thing, Eina Mechumetz Mechametz Elofi Cheshbon. Just like there's a concept of Dimua, there's a concept of Chimutz. Chimutz means if you used to Mechametz for a leavening process, if you took yeast, so you took yeast that was Truma, and you mixed it in to Chulin, and the yeast made the dough into leaven, so now that whole dough is Truma. Now, if that dough falls into something else, you don't have to be mevatel everything. You only have to be mevatel the truma that fell in. That was Muhammad's thesis. The ein el lefi cheshbon. In amayim shuvim poislam mesamikva. El lefi cheshbon. The way the Gemara explains this, that means mayim shuvim that fall into a mikveh technically make the mikveh possible. Unless it's already a mikveh. If it already has 40 saw, it's not no problem. The mikveh is kosher. Once a mikveh has 40 saw, you can add a million saw to that mikveh. It stays kosher. We're talking about when you're building the mikveh. You're creating the mikveh. So the mikveh cannot be created with mayim shuvim. So lamaisa, It's the she'uvim passel the mikveh based on the cheshbon. What does that mean? The Gemara, the Mishnah here does not explain exactly what it means. The Gemara gives two possible interpretations. Either it's talking about a case of hamshacha. Hamshacha is really a classic, the classic way of building a mikveh, which is that we don't necessarily get a mikveh to have 40 saw of rainwater from its get-go. Instead, what we do is we take water that already became mayim she'uvim, right? We have that water gather up in a pit in the ground somewhere. That pit is posel because it's mayim she'uvim. Notice, I have a reservoir out here, which I filled up the reservoir. So that reservoir is posel because it's not a mikveh. Now that reservoir overflows, and the water now flows on the ground and goes to point B. So the traveling process of that water makes it kosher. It's not called mayim shuvim anymore. Mayim shuvim means water that was gathered and brought through a person. It loses its status as it flows from point A to point B. It loses its status. And this is a very complicated inyan. First of all, could this happen anywhere? What about in a pipe? Let's say I have a reservoir with posel water, with a pipe, solid pipe underground, opened on both ends, so it's not a keli, a pipe that was put underground, and the water goes to the mikveh. So, it's machloikis, the mechaber and the ramo, if that's good. The ramo holds, it has to flow on dirt. Can't flow in a solid thing, because it only loses its status of shuvim if it flows on ground. Something that can absorb the water. So if the water doesn't flow on an absorbable surface, it maintains its original status. So according to the Ramah, in order for the water to be kosher, it has to flow from point A to point B on an absorbable surface. The Mechaber doesn't bring down that condition. Although he brings it down in the Beis Yosef, in the Shulchan Aruch he doesn't bring down Hilchos Mikvois. That's the way to, and many mikvois are built with this. Now, even this can only be used up until 19 sa'a. Meaning, you can't have most of the mikveh made up through this hamshacha. You have to have 21 sa'a, 20 plus sa'a of kosher lachatchila rainwater that wasn't drawn. And then you could use this process. So that's what the Mishnah means. Lefi cheshbain means that you can machshir the mikveh based on the calculation that you have majority of rainwater. That's one explanation. The other mahalach the Gemara gives is we're not talking about hamshacha. We're talking about another halacha. We're talking about pure gathered water. Even pure gathered water only passes a mikveh if it's three lugim. So if you have a mikveh that was made up with 40 saw of rainwater minus 2.5 lug, and 2.5 lug you filled up with regular shuvim, filled up, puffer. So according to one opinion, that's only if it fell lug at a time. In other words, if you add water to the mikveh droplets, less than a lug, you take a keli that's less than a lug, doesn't make the mikveh puffer. So those are the two ways to learn the Mishnah of Lufi Cheshmin. Vein mechatas oise mechatas. Eloi matanaf efer. Mechatas can only become mechatas. Nasim, that's why many have the gears of nasim mechatas. Only if you put the ashes in after the water is already there. You can't have ashes on the keli and then add water to it. The machsha has to be on top. The ein beis hapras, oise beis hapras. And the chachomim will goyzer if you have a field that has a dead body in it somewhere where you don't know. That once the field is plowed, the entire field is tameh. But now, if you plow from that field to another field, the tumah doesn't continue to go. Only, let's say, 100 amah on both sides. There ain't truma acha truma. Truma acha truma, according to the Gemara's maskana, means if you have two partners. Rashi brings down the Mishnah here, Pashat. Truma acha truma means you mafis truma today, then you mafis truma again tomorrow. That doesn't work. Tomorrow's truma is not effective. That's so posh. The Gemara holds that's pshita. Of course that doesn't work. The Gemara says it's talking about a case where you have two partners. And both partners were mafis truma, one after the other. The shaila is, does one have the ability to mevatel the previous guy's truma? Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, when the second partner comes to mafris truma, he shows that he was dissatisfied that the original one was mafris truma. Why did he do it after the first guy? So therefore, he's mevatel the hafrosh of the first guy. First guy is only a partial owner. He doesn't have a right to be mafresh without his friend's acknowledgement. Memela that the whole chum is buckle because neither one was mask. That's how the Gemara comes out. And then, the reason why this Mishnah came in is because of this din. Vein tmura is a tmura. And one tmura cannot make another tmura. V'loy avlado is a tmura. And a vlad of a kodesh, a vlad of a carbon, can't make tmura. Rabbi Yudahim, avlado is a tmura. Vlad could make tmura. Amar lo, the Chachamim told him, what do you mean? Hekdesh is a tmura, vein avlado is a tmura. The posik of tmura is only by hekdesh, and it's not by vlad. And actually, according to Rabbi Akiva, he learns that there's an extra posik, yiyeh. It says, v'hoyahu tmurosa yiyeh kodesh. So he learns out of the yiyeh, even the vlad, and the Chachamim learn out of yiyeh that you don't need das. That's the Gemara. Basically, that's not a Gemara's mafaris to Mishnah. The main point that I wanted to discuss here was the discussion, the beginning of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah, which is Tmura. We're going to discuss much more next sugi, Mitzvah Shem Adaf Yud Gimel, when we get to the sugi of Ashutfim. Shutfim doing Tmura. But the main discussion I wanted to have over here is on the Inyan of Chanan, which is a Yesoidistic concept in Yerodea. And since the Mishnah here is very much negated to it, I'll just give you the Yesod very quickly. The concept of Chanan and Yerodea is one of the very basic Yesodis of Yerodea. It's like Hamotzi Mechaver Levarai and Choshen Mishpat, right? It's like a basic Yesod. And this Mishnah seems to negate Chanan. Chanan means the opposite of this Mishnah. Chanan basically means nothing stays parva in Yerodea. Nothing stays parva. Right? Either it becomes bottle. If an iser falls into a pot, either it becomes bottle, or the pot becomes usser. Things don't remain questionable. Therefore, the definition of Chanan is chaticho nasis nevelo, which means the piece of heter now turns in to nevel. Since that piece of meat did not succeed to be mevatel what fell into the pot, so not only does the piece of meat that fell into the pot remain aser, but the pot turns into a chaticha d'iser. So now what you're left with is a piece of iser. That's the sugya of Chanan. I used to learn with this conservative rabbi years ago. He was a distant relative. I did it more for kiruv purposes. So he was telling me, you know, he got smicha. So I was trying to tell him that the smicha that they give is not really very lemaisedik. And he said, he wanted like a marshal, a dugma. So I asked him, what does Chanan mean? First, he didn't know what it stood for. Stam Chanan, he didn't know what it meant. He thought it was a name. Chanan is a name. Stam, he didn't know what it meant. So then I explained to him what it stands for. Chaticha, Nasis, Nevela. The pshatim that he gave me in that were fascinating. You can imagine the piece becomes an avail if it touches everything but. And then I showed him how relevant this was to Yerodea. And this was really a convincing point where he decided that his smicha wasn't really worth all that much. This is like that olive base. This Mishnah says, Eina meduma medame el fi cheshbon. The meduma only is medame el fi cheshbon. So it seems to be saying that the status of the chulin remains the way it is, even though the truma fell in. The chulin did not succeed to be mevatel the truma, and still the chulin remains chulin. The raya is that now when that chulin goes and gets mixed into something else, you don't have to be mevatel the whole thing, right? You only have to be mevatel the truma that fell in. That's a raya. That we don't say Chanan. So if you look at the Rashash that I asked you to look up, you'll see that that's what the Rashash says. Miloshoin ze mashma, da achulin shemidameya loy mitstarev levat loy. Ukedas harambam sheivesi betchumois, the loy kepirish Rashi. Rashash is saying that if you take a look at Tosfos, he feels that Tosfos has a different view, because when Tosfos read our Mishnah, he didn't read it like Rashi. Rashi said clearly that it's mefarish b'gemara, and the Gemara goes and explains the Mishnah the way we just said it. And Tosfos, when he brings it down, says it differently. Tosfos says, "Im yesh b'shniya kedei levatel shir min atruma shenafel bo b'teila, af al gav de'ein b'rishayin kedei levatel shir atruma shenafel bo." So Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that the second one gets a turn again to be mevatel, but not that the chulin in that initial thing turns is mitstaref. See, because there's another way to look at it. The other way to look at it is the chulin that's there is added. In other words, the original chulin that was in there that couldn't be mevatel it. Now, when it falls into the second place, is mitzaref with the other chulin to be mevatel the trum. Tosfos doesn't learn that way. Tosfos doesn't learn that that would work. Because to some degree, that chulin turned into nevel already. So you can't use that chulin to be mevatel the yisr. That's what Tosfos seems to be saying. So that's what the Rashash means. Now, if you look at the Reb Kiva Eger that I asked everybody to look up, Reb Kiva Eger is going on this idea. Ein amedume medame elo lefi cheshben. Reb Kivega there says, Ayin b'harash shekosav da'af hachulin shebedimua misayayim levatloi. The chulin, not only does the chulin remain dormant, but the chulin that was in the original pile that was usher yesterday, today it's added to mevatel the truma. So the enemy of yesterday is today a friend. The foe turned into a friend. Yesterday, you couldn't eat that chulin because it was truma. Today, Mr. Truma meets up with the second barrel chever and says, "Listen, I'm part of the chabur here. We're attacking the truma." Yesterday, he was buddies with the truma. I couldn't eat him because he named Atoivu Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachat. And now he fell into another barrel. Now he got mixed in with the Moderna Shechevra. Now he's with the Chulin Shechevra. And he's anti the Charedi that fell in. The Truma that fell in. And then Mevatel the Truma. Ulefi zeh, memela hadin l'choyra bedina demasniton. He said, goes through HaKadon. Beso Truma shenofo l'chuvik biya v'nofo makamacha b'chol in y'enem edamea. Now, if you skip a couple of lines, he says, "Gama prichodesh biyerodeya simin salites kos of the vade b'mastit and the hocha eino midamas klau to achulin shaboy mevaklet." The chulin is mevaklet. Now, this is against all the rules of Hanan. This Mishnah negates the rules of Hanan. According to this way of learning, this Mishnah directly negates Hanan. So the question is, so some want to say, you know what? Our Mishnah is a raya to Rabbeinu Ephraim. If you look in Yeridah, Rabbeinu Ephraim says that we don't say Hanan by other Isurim. He says Hanan only applies to Basa B'Cholov. That's his shita. Hanan only applies to Basa B'Cholov. And why? By Basa B'Cholov, it's very logical. Because the milk is mutter. The meat is mutter. When they get together, they're osur. What's osur? The combination. So there you say it's a new entity of Isser. That's when you say Hanan. But by other things, when you have a piece of pig falls into a pot, it's not the pig and the meat that's... The pig is the problem. So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the pig is always isolated. Now if the mixture falls again, mevatel the pig again, because the pig is always the pig, and the heter is always heter. You can't eat the heter because there's pig in it. You don't know where it is. But the heter is heter. So he wants to say our Mishnah is a raya to Rabbeinu Ephraim. But it's obvious that the other Rishonim have to understand our Mishnah as well. How will they learn our Mishnah? So I was thinking of perhaps a poshut explanation, how to explain our Mishnah. And that is that there's a very big nafkamin in halacha between Isser Gavra and Isser Chefetz, which is always that way in Kol HaTorah Kula. There's a difference between Isser Gavra and Isser Chefetz. Isser Chefetz is something which inherently is an Isser, right? Isser Gavra is something that's on the person, not on the Chefetz. L'moshel. Many learn Yom Kippur is that way. The piece of meat that's from Empire Chicken, avada that piece of meat is heter. A grad on Yom Kippur, the gavra is not allowed to eat that piece of meat, but the meat is a chefetz of heter. Chometz, according to the Yerushalmi, chometz is a chaticha deter, because since chometz after Pesach medaraisa is mutter, so that's it. Once it's mutter, so once chometz is over all of our Pesach, turns into chaticha deter. Right? Even on Pesach, it's heter, which you're not allowed to eat. That's chometz. Then there are things which we call Isser Chefetz. The way we look at Chazer and the Veil, even though some Rishonim call that also Isser Gavra, that's coming because of the object. It's coming because of the object. Now, Truma is clearly not like a classic Isser Chefetz. Truma is an Isser that's chal because of the Pu'ula of the Adam. You go and you make a Truma, even though it does become an Isser Chefetz after you do that. But that's not even a permanent status. You could go now to a chacham, be shoyel on your hafrosha, and now it turns into chulin. Right? So the whole status of truma is not inherent. It's something that was put on it, labeled truma. So I want to say, that's a contradiction with chanan. Chanan is like a disease. Chanan says, listen, if the iser fell into the heter couldn't be mevatel the iser. Now the Isser gets the disease of the heter. But here the heter inherently, the Isser inherently is not a chaticha d'isur. It's only labeled. That doesn't have a koyach to create Isser on everything else. Because it isn't inherent. The whole concept of chanan is an inherent concept. That's why I'll tell you, the way I'm learning really, it's an extension to the tirutzim. Some of the achrayim want to say a teretz like this. We only say chanan by lach balach. We only say chanan when you cook something together. Because then it all becomes one thing, inherently becomes one thing. But by yovish biyovish, dry stuff, which each one is separate, doesn't become chanan. That's a big chiddush. Big chiddush. What I'm saying really is along those lines, but it's a pashto svara. We can't say something turns into an inherent iser when the originator, the one that started the process, is not inherently Isser. The original thing was just Truma because it was labeled Truma. That doesn't have a koyach to give it on to something else. And therefore, Dimua always remains Heter sitting next to Truma. It's Heter sitting next to something that was labeled. Because the thing next to it is also really Chulin that was labeled. Or Tevel that was labeled. And therefore, that doesn't have the ability to go and pass it on. To me, it's so poshut that I don't know why any of the Rishonim argue. And the only explanation I have in the Rishonim that argue and would say chanan by truma is because they hold like the chakira that we had months ago, which is that truma really is inherent. The reason why you're not allowed to eat tevel from the get-go is because it has truma mixed into it. So then, truma is not just a label that you put on the truma. Truma is an inherent in the Heftze. Oh, so then they can make something else. That could be good for the Machlekes Rishon. The Rishonim all, that Truma is inherently Truma that has the ability to make something else, Chanan. But if Truma is nothing more than something you put onto it, then that doesn't have a koyach to make something else, Chanan. Okay, so next week in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be starting with the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel. And we're going to finish the... it may take us another 2 weeks to finish the perek. It's one blot, but I would ask the Yoelim to try to finish the perek. And we're going to going to ask the Olam to look up Rashi and Zvachim Davvav Amar Aleph Divrei Amaschul Veshutofim Lo Motzi Mimirin. And also on our Mishnah, the Tosfos Yomtiv Divrei Amaschul Korbanos, and the Devar Avraham, this will already post. It's in Chelek Aleph, Simen Yudalad Oiz Dalad. This will already post on the online for that. Okay. That's it.